Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to Capital Irish, the Irish-related programme that comes to you every Sunday at high noon on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Or you can listen to it from any part of the world by going on your laptop on wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz. My name is Jim Frail, originally from County Mayo. I am one of a number of Irish-born presenters from different counties in Ireland who help bring this programme to you, the listeners. With me in the studio, doing the important technical job, is Ailis Cassidy from Derry. And she always does a good job doing the important technical job. We're supported by our sponsors, Peter and Susie McGuinness, the Hutt Valley Irish Society, and the Wellington Irish Trust. Today I will bring you snippets of Irish-related news and play some Irish songs or music. Last week I read a news item in the Irish Central. The article said that Ireland is one of the happiest and most generous countries in the world. This is on a Brands Index which measures 60 nations. Ireland is in the top three happiest countries, that's the people, I suppose, and the top three most generous counties in the world in 2023. Ireland is the third happiest country. Can you guess who is first and second? Well, New Zealand is number one and Spain is number two. Ireland is also the third most generous country. Canada is number one, and once again, New Zealand is number two. Following Ireland is Japan, then Germany, then Canada, then Britain and Italy, and all the rest come after that. It's always good to read some positive news about the people in Ireland and New Zealand, especially at this time, with so much uncertainty in the world and misery, the terrible destruction in Gaza, where a child is killed every 10 minutes, according to the World Health Organization. Imagine, while you're listening to this program, four children will have died in Gaza. And that's not counting the ones whose bodies haven't still been found, buried under the rubble. And of course, there's also the Russian invasion of Ukraine. To quote W.B. Yeats, "The world is more full of weeping than we can understand." The Irish Times recently had an article about how Ireland's rugby team epitomises the best in the Irish-British relationship. Ireland's rugby team represents modern Ireland in the best possible way, according to the article, by including players who are Irish, British, and those who have made their home in Ireland from distant lands, like Bundy Alley and people like that. The team spirit displayed by Irish players from north and south, led by an English coach of Irish heritage, is an example of good behaviour to political leaders on the island of Ireland. How true when you see the childish behaviour of the unionist parties in the north of Ireland refusing to even sit in Stormont, that's the north's House of Parliament. After that, it's time for a song. And this month was the anniversary of the death of Tommy Clancy of the famous Clancy Brothers of the 1950s and the 1960s. They are all dead now, including Tommy Makem. I will play one of their songs, "The Leaving of Liverpool." Hope you like it.
Thank you. My darling, when I think of thee, I have shipped on a Yankee sailing ship. Davy Crockett is her name, and Burgess is the captain of her, and they say she is a floating hell. So
November, like every month in Ireland, is the anniversary of many events in Irish history. I will mention just a few. It is the anniversary month of the end of World War I, which cost the lives of 20 million people and, of course, led to World War II 21 years later, which again led to the death of 70 million people, most being innocent civilians. In the words of the song, when will they ever learn? For the record, 50,000 Irish soldiers died in World War I, and more than 120,000 Irish men fought in that war, mostly in Irish and British regiments, like the Connacht Rangers, Munster Fusiliers, the Leinster Regiment, Dublin Fusiliers, and so on. They paid a high price with the terrible loss of young lives. The propaganda at the time said the war was for the right of small nations to govern themselves. Well, we know how that worked out when Ireland tried it. Executions and the black and tans. But that's another story. 2003 is also the century of the new Free Ireland, joining the League of Nations, the forerunner to the United Nations, set up after World War II. The year is also the 50th anniversary of Ireland joining the EEC. That was the forerunner to the European Union, which indirectly has led to a prosperous Ireland going from one of the poorest nations in Europe to be one of the richest nations in Europe. November the 18th, 1926. What happened then? Well, the Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw refused to accept the £7,000, it's a lot of money in those days, awarded to him for his Nobel Prize of Literature. Why did he turn it down? On principle, because it was named after the inventor of dynamite. Now, November the 7th was also, of course, the anniversary of the death of Guy Fawkes. He wasn't Irish, but of course he died in 1605 by jumping from the scaffold and breaking his neck before the authorities could hang him, draw him, and quarter him. Guy Fawkes' death is still celebrated in Britain, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and in Newfoundland, but not in the rest of Canada. That's interesting. It's not celebrated in the Irish Republic, of course, or indeed in the United States. Used to be one time when America won its independence from England, way back, George Washington, America's first president, abolished it. Why? He called it Guy Fawkes Day, a grave insult to America's Catholics. As I mentioned on my last program, my wife Mary and myself were in Ireland and England in July and August. Our eldest son and his wife live in Yorkshire, a beautiful place. And that's about where they live, is about a half an hour's drive from the city of York. Why do I mention this? Well, while we were visiting there, we spent a lovely day in York. And we were just walking along the street. And there I seen it, a big sign on a house, a historic house. And the sign read, "This was Guy Fawkes' house." And across the road is the Church of England, where he was baptized. Guy Fawkes was a Protestant, actually, until the age of 8. And then his father died, and his mother married a Catholic. So the family converted to Catholicism. As they say, the rest is history. I read recently that during the religious wars of Europe in those times, known as the 30-Year War, more than 8 million people died. Amazing little things you pick up when you're trying to find something for this program. Anyway, time for another song. And this one is by Liam Clancy, again, the Clancy brothers, singing Shenandoah. Hope you like it.
A mighty water away, your rolling river. The Indians come along her border away. Away, American Ocean's his canoe was laid. Away, we're bound away, across the wide Missouri. Oh, Shenandoah, I love your dawn.
Another little snippet I read recently in the Irish Central was a story of the Quakers and the Irish famine pots. They brought to Ireland, these famine pots, they brought them to Ireland during Ireland's great hunger, and they supplied 56 large soup pots to 27 counties, saving thousands of lives. In 1846, when the potatoes failed for the second time, a number of Quakers in Ireland and England and America decided to do something to help, and they started to fundraise. The organizer was a Dublin Quaker by the name of Joseph Bewley. He wrote to the Quakers all over Ireland and asking for support. And they managed to, they brought 294 large famine pots into Ireland, including soup boilers. And they were landed at various places along the west coast. The largest number was 10 going to Killybegs in Donegal. There is a well-known Bewley coffee house in Grafton Street in Dublin. I just wonder, I wouldn't be surprised if they're not the descendants of Joseph Bewley. Last month, one of the greatest Irish-American men for the past 50 years at least died. His name was Chuck Feeney. He was 92 years old. Political leaders from different parties in Ireland paid tribute to him. They said that his kindness and vision brought hope and joy to millions. He was born in New Jersey, but his roots were in County Fermanagh. He made a fortune, but gave it all away through his Atlantic philanthropies in his lifetime. More than $8 billion, would you believe, dollars, gave it all away. $1 billion of it went to different good causes in Ireland. That's the island of Ireland, north and south. His personal philosophy was, there are no pockets in a shroud. And he practiced what he preached. to make the lives of others better. American Congressman Bruce Morrison said that without Feeney, the Irish peace process would not have happened. Quietly behind the scenes, he provided the glue and resources to the places it was needed. He never wanted credit or the limelight for his achievements. He was one of the few who was indispensable. That's some praise. The President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, said that Chuck Feeney was a great, great friend of Ireland and its people. He was a pioneer in the world of philanthropy. While all I say, may he rest in peace. Someone once wrote, I forget where, that God's greatest creation is an honest and generous person. Well, that's something. In a recent piece in the Irish Times, Fintan O'Toole wrote that one of the most extraordinary changes in modern Irish history is the fact from last year's census statistics. And the fact is that 20% of today's Irish population were born in another country. That is one in five, can you believe? Today in America, 14% of the population is foreign born. And in Britain, 14.8%, but in Ireland, 20%. Now, more than 750,000 in Ireland speak a language other than English or Irish in their own homes. Between 2012 and 2022, 401,453 people came to live permanently in Ireland from abroad. There are now more than 1 million people born elsewhere living in Ireland. Now, generally speaking, O'Toole says that they have integrated well into our society, he said, which is a credit to the country. And the numbers, of course, have put huge pressure on housing and health care and transport, which, of course, is the downside. Well, this month's Irish Central book review is about a book called Caola by Colin Walsh. Caola is his first novel. Now, Colin Walsh is from County Galway, and this novel has quickly become a bestseller, not only in Ireland, but elsewhere. And the story is set on Ireland's west coast, where three old friends are thrown together for the first time in 15 years. A body, a woman's body, has been discovered in the woods, and two more girls have gone missing. The post and the past and present collide with hidden secrets from the past. The novel brilliantly examines the sometimes brutal costs of belonging, the battle in the human heart between vengeance and forgiveness, despair, and of course, redemption. It was shortlisted in the Sunday Independent Newcomer of the Year shortlist for the 2023 On Post Irish Book Awards. Incidentally, today, Thursday, which I'm pre-recorded this program, the Irish Times report that the On Post Book Award for this year has gone to Dublin writer Paul Murray for his new novel, Beasting, which is also a bestseller. Incidentally, I put my name down at the local library to get Caola, and I'm 24 on the list, so it's obviously popular here. With that, it's time for me to say farewell. And I will go out with Róisín Dubh, one of my favourites, tunes by Mick O'Brien of the Ancient Voice of Ireland album. Thank you all for listening once again to my show.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That programme was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.